Good morning, everybody. Welcome back. I don't know about you, but I've missed the Haftorah the last few weeks. It's different going into Shabbos when you don't know what the Haftorah is about. So today we're not going to do the Haftorah for Tetzaveh. We're going to do the Haftorah for Parsha Zachor, which is on page
1214
of your art scroll Chumashim. First of all, there's always something to come up with, but it's a little bit, the story of the Haftorah for Zachor is a little bit easier. So of course, it's a story that many of us are peripherally familiar with, namely the story of Shaul and Shmuel, where Shaul makes an egregious error, as we'll learn about. The whole Haftorah is essentially about the obligation to destroy Amalek. Okay, we know, as we'll study in a second, that there is an obligation, Timcheh Zecher Amalek, that we're supposed to wipe out any remembrance of Amalek, and in a sense, it's one of the most difficult of the mitzvos in the Torah to comprehend, specifically when we talk about a Western sense of morality. Right? It's difficult on a number of levels. First of all, the notion of murdering someone simply because of their genetic DNA is somewhat difficult, and part of the challenge of Mechias Amalek, of our obligation to destroy Amalek, is overcoming our personal sense of morality in submitting it to the divine morality. Right? That's something that should trouble you. I'll put it this way. If it doesn't trouble you, there's a problem. And if it troubles you too much, there's a problem. So you got to find a point somewhere in the middle. Also, you have to realize that the difference between fulfilling the biblical obligation, again, certainly in biblical times, the biblical obligation of Mechias Amalek, of destroying Amalek, and murder is very slim, right? If you get it right, you fulfilled one of the greatest mitzvahs in the Torah. If you get it wrong, so then you violated murder. And the other challenge is not to mix in any of your own personal emotions. In other words, you have to realize that when you're murdering Amalek, so you're doing so at a sense of submission to the divine will, not because you are harboring any ill will toward the person that you're murdering. So there are a lot of nuances.
No nation.
Right, exactly. They're also mixed in. Who is Amalek? There are a lot of issues that come in, which makes it somewhat of a challenging mitzvah. But nonetheless, we know that it's the mitzvah of the day, so to speak. This is why we read it this week. Chazal Institute, that we read about this story in Tanakh of Amalek, specifically on the Shabbos when we read about Amalek. Why do we read about Amalek this time of the year? So again, we're familiar that Haman is a descendant of Amalek, and so therefore we designate one Shabbos a year to remembering what Amalek did to us and committing ourselves to the destruction of Amalek. And that's why we read this Haftorah as opposed to the exciting Haftorah that we otherwise would have read for Parshas Tetzaveh. Okay. What, Zachor? No, we always read Zachor, the Shabbos before. Okay, we always read Zachor, the Shabbos before Pur. Okay, so we're on the beginning of the 15th chapter of Shmuel Aleph, and there's actually a discrepancy. I don't know if Art Scroll highlights the discrepancy, but there's a discrepancy between where Svardim start and where Ashkenazim start. Do they do that?
Why is that?
So we'll see. I'm not sure why Svardim chose one, Ashkenazim chose the other, but there's certainly an importance of it. Svardim begin from the beginning of the chapter. Ashkenazim begin from Perek Pasuk Bet, from the second Pasuk. So it's a difference of one Pasuk. Usually when there's a discrepancy, it's, as they say, you can't Efshar L'Kayim Shneim, E'Efshar L'Kayim Shneim. You can't fulfill both, can't learn two Haftorahs in one class. Today it's only one Pasuk. So I'll appease our Svardic friends here today. And we'll learn the Svardic approach as well. Okay, we begin right at the beginning of the chapter, Pasuk Aleph, Perek 15, Perek Tesva. Vayomer Shmuel el Shaul. Again, who's Shmuel, who's Shaul? So just to remind ourselves, Shmuel is the Navi, Shaul is the king, and we know that there's always been this division of leadership amongst the Jewish people, or going forward, there will always be a division of leadership amongst the Jewish people. There will be a king for political, economic purposes, and there'll be a Navi for religious purposes. Okay, and that's how the division always took place. But Yomer Shmuel el Shaul. So Shmuel says to Shaul, Osi shalach Hashem limshachacha. God sent me to coronate you as the king, lemelech, alamo Yisrael, to be the king over the Jewish people. Ve'ata shma l'kol devarei Hashem. And now listen to what God said. Now, after learning that pasuk, your questions about why Sephardim and Ashkenazim differ should be even more pronounced. First of all, it's a bizarre pasuk. What does it really add to the storyline? That Shmuel comes to Shaul and says, the same way God told me to coronate you, so I'm also going to tell you something now. Right? So A, why do Ashkenazim leave it out? And B, why does Sephardim put it in? Right? Either way, it doesn't. Why does Sephardim put it in? It's a meaningless pasuk. Why do Ashkenazim leave it out? What's the harm in putting it in? Right? So you can ask the questions in both directions. Hopefully we'll come back to it at the end. Okay? But nonetheless, Shmuel's kind of building up his credibility with Shaul. He's saying, lest you think you're not going to listen to me, don't forget, I'm the one who put you as king, so now you got to listen to me. Right? It's like the guy in the Kshul who was on the search committee when I was applying to be the rabbi here. He's the guy in the search committee. Don't you forget that I'm the guy who voted for you, right? I owe him something. So that's essentially what Shmuel is saying to Shaul. Pasuk Bet. Ko amar Adonai Tzvaot, pakarati eis asher asam aleik Yisrael, asher sam lo baderech ba'aloso Mitzrayim. God says, I remembered what Amalek did to you when you were leaving Mitzrayim, where they ambushed you. Right? Again, we read about that. We're going to read about that again. How Amalek, when the Jewish people were leaving Egypt, Amalek attacked them. It's a little bit unclear what Amalek did that was so bad. Right? We're not 100% sure. Did they prey on the weak? Was it that, according to some opinions, it was that the entire nation, Shamu Amim Yir Gazun, that all of the other nations of the world heard what God did to the Egyptians and they were petrified and they were running away from the Jews. Amalek was the only one with the audacity to come and to fight. Right? They call it like putting like a hot metal rod into an ice-cold bath. Right? What does that do to it? It cools off the rod. So the Jewish people coming out of Egypt were hot on fire. They were on a roll. And Amalek was the ones who had the audacity to come and kind of put out the fire. So either that, or the fact that they preyed upon the weak, we're going to learn about later on, that it was the weakest of the Jewish people that were lagging in the back. And Amalek, right, and Amalek came and preyed on them. So again, there are many things that Amalek did bad. God clearly is not happy with them, right?
And that's something about the food, that they wouldn't let them have the food for this
place. That was Ammon and Moab, right? That was Ammon and Moab. Okay, so fine. So God says, I remember what Amalek did to you, that they ambushed you. Ata, pasuk gimel, now. Lech v'kisa es Amalek v'hacharamtim es kol asher lo. You should go, you should battle Amalek, you should destroy everything they have. V'lo tachmol alav, you should have no mercy on them. V'heimata me'ish ad isha, you should kill man, woman, me'olel ve'ad yonek, from a young person to an old person, mishor ve'ad seh, all different types of animals, migamal ve'ad chamor, all of the livestock. So God means business. He shouldn't just, play around with Amalek, but you should wipe them out. Man, child, woman, animal, livestock, yeah.
Why is the livestock to blame?
So that's a good question, right? Why is the livestock to blame? What did the livestock do wrong? I got a better question. What did the children do bad? What did the women do bad?
The children could still be influenced by their...
And the women...
Right.
No,
okay.
The livestock could not be
poisoned from
their... They're all good questions, right? Which is why I started off this year by saying that the obligation to destroy Amalek is one of the hardest ones. You essentially submit your own sense of morality to the Torah's view of morality. Now, as we'll see, this perhaps could be one of Shaul's tragic flaws, was that he may have agreed with you. What did the livestock do wrong? What did the children do wrong? What did the... Right?
But he let the king do.
But nonetheless, you see, this is a directive from God. God says you should kill everyone. Soup to nuts. Don't leave anyone around. Pasuk Dal. Vayishma Shaul asa'am Vayifkedeim batla'im. So Shaul heard the nation. Vayifkedeim batla'im masayim elef ragli ve'aseret alafim es ish yuda. So he gathers together all of these different types of people. Okay, all the warriors. Vayavo Shaul pasakei vayavo Shaul at ir Amalek vayarev banacha. Okay, and Shaul comes to the ir Amalek vayarev banacha, and he fights them in the valley. So nacha literally means valley. But Chazal already, Radak, I mean it's a Gemara, but Radak over here points us to that Gemara, says, what's the significance of the Nachal? What else happens in the Nachal? Where else do we see the term Nachal in the Torah? You're not going to know it. It's a hard one. It's a trick question. It's not a trick question, but it's a hard question. Egla Arufa. Okay? By Egla Arufa, what happens by an Egla Arufa? A person is found dead in between two cities. The elders of the city have to come. They have to decree that the blood is not on their hands. And they kill an animal. Okay? So says Shaul the following. Okay? With Divrei Rabbah saying, I'm reading from the Radak. It's a Gemara, but I'm reading from the Radak. Lashon Dinhu. Right? He makes like a calculation. Vidan Shaul Ba'atzmal Iske Nachal Kolomar Egla Arufa. He makes a judgment about the Egla Arufa. Amar, he said to himself, Uma Bishvil Nefesh Achat Amra Torah Arof Egla Arof Egla. For one soul, the Torah goes through all of these hoops and right just to make the soul important, basically. In other words, that people should take responsibility for the loss of an innocent soul. Kol Nefashos Ha'Oila Lo Kol Shekein. All of these, so to speak, innocent people, all the more so we should be careful about them. Yatzda basko v'amra lo Shaul. So a basko, a heavenly voice, comes down and says, Al tit sadik harbe yoser mi boraicha. Don't be more righteous than God. So, Alex, Shaul basically had your same calculation, right? In other words, the Torah always tells us to be merciful to our people. In a basko, a heavenly voice came out and said, don't be such a smart aleck, right? Don't be so frum. Don't second guess God. So essentially what the Gemara is highlighting for us is that Vayara ben Achal, that he fought them in the Nachal, is not necessarily where he fought Amalek, but more importantly, he had an internal battle, right? Is this the correct thing to do? Is this not the correct thing to do? Is this what God really wants? Is this what God doesn't want? Yeah.
Why did we say to Abraham, didn't
we? Where?
We asked for a stone.
So you're saying why is Shaul should be right here?
Right.
Right. The difference is Avram had the conversation with God. Shaul had it's describing an internal battle. And Shaul may have fallen prey to that. In other words, Avram ultimately submits himself to God. He fights with him. But at the end of the day, God does what he wants and you kind of get this sense of submission from Avram. Here, you don't necessarily get that from Shaul. Okay? So Vayomer Shaul El HaKeni. So first, Shaul say to the Keni, who are the Keni?
It's another
nation.
You have to get
so Rashi tells us already, B'nei Yisro. Shayu Yoshvim Bamidbar Yehuda Benegev Arev. Right? So it's the children of Yisro. So he says to the children of Yisro, L'chu Suru Redu Mitoch Amaleki. Go and remove yourself from Amalek. Peno Sivcha Imo. Lest I bring you in with them. Right? In other words, kind of what the Israeli army does sometimes. Right? When they're about to bomb a house, so they send messages to the people innocent in the house. Get out. This house is about to blow up. You didn't do anything really wrong. You were nice to us. You shouldn't be caught up in this whole storm. So he says to the Keni, go. Because I'm about to destroy Amalek, the Canaan say, yeah, we like you, Amalek, we're not really interested in being killing because of you, so we're going to escape. Okay? Vayach Shaul es Amalek. So Shaul, Pasuk Zayin, Pasuk 7, Shaul kills Amalek. Mechavila bo'acha shur asher al p'nei Mitzrayim, all of Amalek. Vayit pos es Agag melech Amalek chai. But Shaul leaves Agag, the king of Amalek, alive, Veskola Am Hecharim Lefi Charev, and the rest of the nation he kills by the sword. Okay? Pasuk test, one more pasuk, and then we'll pause for a second. Vayachmo Shaul Va'am Alagag, Val Metav Hatzon, Vabakar, Vahamishnim, Vahalakarim, Vial Kola Tov, Velo Avu Hacharimam. Right? Shaul in the nation had pity on Agag. Ve'al meta vatzon, and the best of the cattle, and bakar, ve'al mishnim, all of the livestock, ve'al akarim, ve'al kol atov, right, all of the best, they decide to keep, ve'lo avu acharimam, they decide not to destroy it, ve'chol hamlacha nimivzeh, ve'nameisota hecharimu, and all of the disgusting livestock, they decide to destroy. Okay? Now, let's pause the story. What did Hashem tell Shaul to do?
Everything.
What does Shaul decide to do? Something. Now, if you pause here, What do you think of Shaul at this moment?
He doesn't listen.
See, he doesn't listen. No, so how do you? What are Shaul's intentions? Again, the Navi will give us hints. Yeah. But let's just read the text for now. What are Shaul's intentions?
To increase his wealth.
So you say to increase his wealth. He wants to keep the best. Yeah. Right? A good cow can last you a couple of weeks. Yeah?
No, he was going to use them as a sacrifice.
He was going to use them as a sacrifice. Why does he keep Agag?
Why did he keep Agag?
Why does he keep Agag?
To show him off. You show off.
So you want to show him off, right? Why do you want to show him off? What does that do for you? Strength, military victory, right? Yeah. So if you read Pshat, if you read the simple understanding, that will come to your mind. Now, what are... You can write it... You know, sometimes they give out these like stickers of like different moods. The smile, the frown, the, right? And it's like to represent your mood that day, okay? If Shaul were wearing a sticker that day, what would his sticker have said? Would his sticker have said rebelliousness? Would his sticker have said naivety? Would his sticker have said poor leader? What would his sticker have said that day?
Compassion.
So you say compassion. Good, so you would say it's misplaced compassion.
Misplaced.
Right, Shaul simply couldn't bring himself. But I'll ask you a question.
Why did
he kills thousands of people. He kills everything else.
Ego. King is a king.
So you say it's ego. Shaul is overwhelmed with a sense of ego, so he keeps the king because he wants to showcase him.
Yes.
Right?
Also, a king is a king. In other words, he, you know, placed himself in such a thing.
So you say a king is a king. He falls prey to the right. What can happen to a king when he falls a false sense of greatness? Okay. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. No one reads Shaul as just a poor leader. Right, because listen to what it says. Right, the nation keeps on playing in here. That Shaul listens to the nation, that he's... But no one understood it that way. Okay, interesting. All of you basically said, in a nutshell, that Shaul was either for his ego, he misplaced compassion, right? So what were the livestock? So we'll learn later on that Shaul clearly keeps the livestock for sacrifices. In other words, Shaul at this moment in time thinks what he's doing is the correct thing. In other words, you never get the sense that he's directly trying to rebel against God. That God told him to do one thing, and he says, no God, I'm going to do another. You don't get that sense. You simply get the sense of almost like a naive kind of leader. God says one thing, Shaul says, I'll reinterpret kind of what God wanted. It's not going to be so bad. It's all going to be hunky-dory. Okay, and that's, but you should think about that. Because the Navi, the way you have to read Navim and put in kind of like a humanistic perspective on them. And you have to try to imagine what they were thinking and what they were feeling and why they did what they did.
Right.
Yeah.
This is when he's confronted as to why...
We're not there yet. I purposefully stopped the story now because I wanted people to... Okay. So that's what Shaul does. That's what Shaul does. Okay? I have other points I wanted to make, but let's go on. Okay. Vayi Pasuk Yud. Vayihi dvar Adonai el Shmuel lemor. So now God comes to Shmuel, and God is not happy. Nichamti. What is nichamti? I regret. Ki himlachti et Shaul lemelech. Ki shav me'acharai. I regret that I made Shaul the king because he turned himself away from me. Vestvarai lo ikim, and he didn't do what I asked him to do. Vayichar leShmuel. He became very upset. Shmuel became upset. Vayizak el Adonai kol alayla. He stays up all night crying out to God. Vayashkem Shmuel likrat Shaul baboker. Shmuel comes to Shaul in the morning. Now you have to remember, Shaul, at least what we know now, has no idea he did anything wrong. He's happy. He's this great military victor right now. He thinks he's just... He didn't rebel against God's word. He helped God's word. He only did... He was in tune to what God really wanted. So he says, Vayugad l'Shmuel, he says to Shmuel, Leymor, Vayugad l'Shmuel, Leymor, Bo Shaul ha-Karmela, V'hinei, it's told to Shmuel, Bo Shaul ha-Karmela, Shaul's coming down from Carmel, V'hinei matziv lo yad, he's making a yad. What's a yad? Oh, so good. So some say it's a monument, or it could be a mizbeach. Right? So Rashi says it's a mizbeach. Radak says it's a place where he's going to divide all of his spoils. Don't forget, he's coming back from this great military victory. He needs a place to sit and to divide everything. But the Malbim and the Ma'arikra say, yeah, it's a monument. Well, those can mean very different things. If it's a mizbeach, what does that mean?
Sacrifices,
right? Again, Shaul's trying to do the right thing. If it's a monument, what's a monument for?
To
he wants to write, talk about the ego. He wants to brag. He wants to set up a reminder about his military triumph. So again, you can read the story in a number of different ways. Vayiso, vayavor, vayired haGilgal. And then he went to Gilgal. Okay. Vayavo Shmuel el Shaul. Shmuel comes to Shaul. Vayomer lo Shaul. Shaul says to him, Baruch atal Adonai, kimosis dvar Adonai. Shaul says, this is great. Hi Shmuel, my best friend. You should be so happy with me because, hey, kimosis dvar Adonai, I did exactly what God wanted. Right? You're on different wavelengths at this point, okay?
They're not on the same page.
They are definitely not on the same page, okay?
But you can also say that he didn't really say, I did what Hashem wanted. He said, Hakimoti edivrei Hashem. I listened to the words of Hashem, but not all the words.
Usually. I come to my son, I said, did you clean up your room? I mean, did you clean up your room? I didn't mean, did you... Now, they might sometimes like to think that I mean only one thing, right? But you have to assume that when God says something, you listen. Shaul clearly feels... Again, I could be wrong. That's the tone of the text that I read it in. Okay? Pasuk Yedalet 14, Vayomer Shmuel. So Shmuel, and this is a ironic pasuk. The Shmuel says, wait a second. Umeh... First of all, meh, onomatopoeia, right? Umeh, right? Umeh, kolatzon azeh beznai, right? Shaul, what's that that noise? What does that remind you of, by the way?
The people, most
of
the
No, Egel, first of all, right? I wasn't even thinking of that. You're right. Moshe comes down and he says to Yeshua, what's that sound I hear? I was thinking Imbracious. When Cain kills Hevel and Hashem comes to Cain and he says, where's Hevel? And, right? Wait, I hear something coming from the ground. He's got to be here somewhere. So that's essentially what Shmuel saying here. Umeh kol atzon azeh beosnai. What's that sound I hear? The kol abakara shera nochi shomea. And what's that cattle? Now again, you'll get the sense in the very next pasuk that Shaul genuinely thinks he's doing the right thing. Vayomer Shaul. Shaul says, "Me Amaleki." Those are the from Amalek. Heviyam Asher Chamala Amal Meitiv Atzon. We specifically had mercy on the best of them. Why? Leman Zoveach Zvoach LaAdonai Elohecha, so that we can make a sacrifice to Hashem. Vesayoser Hecharamnu. And everything else we destroyed. Now the Shaul says, "Didn't I do such a great thing? I destroyed all the riffraff." And I took the best of the cattle, and I'm specifically saving it for sacrifice to Hashem. Hashem is going to be so proud of me. Okay? Vayomer Shmuel Shaul. Shmuel says to Shaul, Heref, right? Like, calm down a second. Shaul is very excited. And Shmuel says, calm down. Vagida lecha es asher diber Adonai Eli halayla. And let me tell you what God told me at night. Vayomer lo daber. And Shaul says, okay, I want to hear. Vayomer Shmuel, Haloim Katona ta beinecha rosh shiftei Yisraelata. Are you a nobody? Are you a small little person? Right? Vayim Katona ta beinecha rosh shiftei Yisraelata. Are you such a small person? Vayim Shachachad anai lemelech al Yisrael. God made you the king over all of Israel. Now, why does he tell him that? Exactly. Right? In other words, the Navi specifically kept on mentioning Shaul veha'am, Shaul veha'am. So Shmuel comes to him and almost anticipates his excuse. And he says, what are you, a little, you're a nobody here? That when the nation comes to you and tells you to do something, you acquiesce, you fall into it immediately? You're the king! You're supposed to know better. You're supposed to have a more of a sensitive moral compass. That when the nation tells you to do something stupid, a leader's supposed to say no. Right? This is the job of the rabbi. No, I'm joking, right? No, that was a joke. But that's what a leader is supposed to do. A leader's job, and that's what makes leadership so difficult, is a leader's job is that when people come to him with ideas, you have to sniff out the good ideas and delicately pass on the bad ideas. and not listen to every idea that everyone always says. Now, that doesn't always make you friends, right? Someone told me when I went into the rabbinate, they said, if everyone likes you, it means you're not doing a good job. Part of leadership means taking stands and not appeasing everyone all the time. So that's what essentially Shmuel says. You're supposed to know better. I made you king.
Yes. Of course. Pasuk 15. Did you mention that? Why did he say your God? Sure. Is that to...
Where?
In Pasuk 15, the last one.
Yeah, I don't know if that...
It's just play.
I think that might just be a way of turning. Okay? Mm-hmm. Hold on 1 second. Yeah, no, I had an underline earlier, I'm trying. Okay, so Pasuk Yirched, 18. Vayishlachacha Adonai Badarech. God sent you on the way. In other words, God gave you a mission. Vayomer Leich, Vecharamta Esachataim, Etachataim, Etamalek, Vinilchamta Bo, Ad Kalotamotam. God sent you on a mission, and He told you to annihilate everyone. He told you to destroy everything. Pasuk Yitev, Lama Lo Shamata Bekol Adonai. Why didn't you listen to God? Vata'at et hashalal, right? You were like a vulture on the spoils. Vatasara bein Adonai, and you did bad in the eyes of God. Again, you almost get the sense that Shaul is just, he has no clue what he did was wrong. Okay? Vayomer Shaul. Shaul then says back, oh, I had a point, hold on 1 second. Yeah, the Malbim simply points out that there are 3 points to the last pasuk, right? Velama lo shamata bekol Adonai, right? That there were essentially 3 sins. Number one is you didn't listen to the voice of God. Number two, vatat eta shalal, that you were like vultures onto the spoils. What's so bad about that?
Because they were told not to.
Well, what? How did we start off? One of the challenges about Mechias Amalek is what? Is your intentions while doing it. In other words, if your intentions are for the sake of God, then it's a mitzvah. If your intentions are for economic gain, for egotistical gain, there's a problem. So number one is v'lo shamata b'kol Adonai. Number one, you didn't listen to God. Number two is you had this desire for money. You did it for an economic gain. And number three, v'tas hara b'inei Adonai, right? All of that essentially appears that you didn't do the will of God, right? You sinned by projecting a different sense of morality for God. Okay, so there are 3 different elements. That's the Malbim. If we had more time, we could read inside. Okay, Pasacha. Vayomer Shaul al-Shmuel. So now Shaul's response. Asher shamata b'kol Adonai ve'ilech baderech asher shalachani Adonai ve'avi es agag melech amalek es amalek hecharamti. So Shaul again says, like, what did I do wrong? I listened to God, right? I did everything He asked me to do. I fulfilled His mission. And I even did better than that. Vavias Agag Melech Amalek. I brought Agag. Right? Why Shaul thinks that's a good thing? Okay. Ves Amalek Echaramti, and I destroyed all of the rest of Amalek. Vaykacha Am Meashalal Tzon Bakar Reishis Hacherem Lizboch Lanai Lechabigagal. And the only reason we took all of these livestock, all of these cattle, is simply so that we can offer a sacrifice to Hashem. Again, Shaul's. He doesn't just
misguided.
He doesn't accept it. He kind of argues back. He says, Shmuel, what I do is so bad. I did everything God asks. And I even tried to help God. I tried to do it even better than God wanted. Vayomer Shmuel, Pasuk Chapet, 22. Hachefetz l'Adonai ba'olot uzvachim kishmoa bekol. What? Bekol Adonai. Hine shmoa mizevach tov l'akshiv mechelev elim. Right? Does God want the olot uzvachim, the sacrifices, kishmoa b'kol Adonai, more than He wants you to listen to God's voice? In other words, again, don't be such a frumach, right? Don't be so smart, Alec, to say, I'm going to do better than what God wants. What does God... God wants your dirty sacrifices? He'd rather you listen to His voice. Hey, now again, that's not saying that God doesn't like sacrifices. It means, don't think that you're going to be more righteous than God. Okay, in the second half of the pasuk, hine shmoa mizevach tov lakshiv mechelev elim. Wouldn't God rather you listen to Him more than any fat of rams? Again, God would rather you listen to Him more so than to simply do what you want. And now it's somewhat difficult pasuk to understand. Ki chatas kesem meri, because rebellion is a source of witchcraft. Ve'aven utrafim hafsar, and evil and talking a lot is like the evil of idolatry. Yan ma'asta estavara naivi maschami melech. Right? And because you rejected the word of God, you in turn will be rejected. So what's the first part of that pasuk? That rebellion is a sin like witchcraft, and talking a lot is a sin like idolatry. So let's start with the second part. That's a little easier to understand. Talking a lot is like idolatry. What does that mean? Right? What's Shmuel essentially telling Shaul? What's wrong with talking a lot? Well, think about what Shaul just did. Shmuel came to him and said he did something wrong. Shaul comes back and says, it wasn't so bad. I really did what God asked. I'm a righteous person. And Shmuel basically says, don't talk too much. Right? What does talking too much do? You convince yourself that you're right. Right? It's an amazing psychological insight. We have the ability to talk ourselves into thinking that we are doing something right, even when it completely disregards what God asked. Okay? And the second part is that rebellion is a sin like witchcraft. So what does that mean? What's witchcraft? Right? I do a magic trick on you. What am I doing? Well, why is it anti-God, right? What's wrong with witchcraft? It's fake. It's an illusion. Right? I make something that's not actually there. So essentially what Shmuel is teaching him is that rebellion is like witchcraft. You've created an illusion for yourself, Shaul. You've caused yourself to believe that something is true when it's simply not. You've convinced yourself that you are acting in a virtuous fashion when in fact nothing can be further from the truth, right? You told yourself that something is permissible when in fact it is not permissible. And then he says, Yan me'asta est varnai, because you rejected the will of God, vayimascha mimelech, God is going to tear the kingdom away from you. Now, Shaul gets the picture, right? He knows that Shmuel means business. And so, vayomer Shaul, pasuk 24, el Shmuel chatasi, I made a sin. Ki avarti es pi Adonai v'est varecha, because I violated God's word and your word. Ki yareisi es ha'am v'eshma b'kolam. What does Shaul say he did wrong? I listened to the people. That's like my children, my delicious, scrumptious children. I'll go to my son, I'll say, why'd you steal the candy? Why'd you take candy? He'll say, Daddy, you're right, I'm so sorry. But Shana made me do it! Right? You know what that's called? Disingenuous. Okay, we have a word for that. We have passing the buck. We have a word for that. Right? Harry Truman would not have been happy. Right? The buck stops here. Harry Truman would not have been happy. Okay? So that's what Shaul kind of does. He says, I sinned, but it's not my fault. I really listened to everyone else. Yeah. Isn't it the same with what Aaron did? Well, Aaron gets punished. Mm-hmm. Aaron gets punished. I'll give you better. Isn't it the same with what David did, kind of? I mean, David sins in a seemingly much more... David gets forgiven. That you got to ask yourself that, the whole story.
He really knows. He doesn't know.
Well, so let's hold the solutions, but you got to keep that in the back of your mind. Tanakh will eternally contrast Shaul and David. Because David gets the kingdom after Shaul leaves. And they were intertwined in so many different story plots. So David's sin seems so much more egregious, and yet he is not forgiven. Shaul seems somewhat innocuous, and he doesn't. So let's remember that when we come to our analysis at the end.
Yeah.
Okay? But nonetheless, Shaul says, I'm sorry, but the people made me do it. Ve'ata, sana es chatasi, v'shuvami, v'shtachav al Adonai. Shaul, he almost seems to be deaf, right? Like psychologically deaf to what's going on here. He says, okay, I sinned. Now forgive me and let's go on with the show. Okay? Because don't forget.
He didn't hear that he's rejected.
What's everyone doing while they're having this conversation?
Celebrating.
Well, they're waiting for the celebration to start. Don't forget, Shaul's coming back from this big military victory. They have all the altars set up. They have all the animals ready to go and they're just waiting for Shaul to come. So Shmuel's kind of holding up the party a little bit. And Shaul says, there's this whole thing going on. Let's get in there. Let's get on with it. I'm sorry. Let's get on with the show. Okay? Which again makes you feel a little bit like Shaul's mea culpa is somewhat disingenuous. He just wants, let's get on with it. Okay? But Yomer Shmuel says to Shaul, not so fast, my dear friend. Lo ashuv imach. I'm not done with you yet. I'm not coming with you yet. Ki ma'asta es devar anai. Because you have rejected God. Vayimaschad and I miyos melechal Yisrael. God, you're not going to be king much longer, right? God's not so happy with you right now. Okay? Vayomer elav Shmuel. So Shmuel says to him, I'm sorry, I skipped a pasuk. Vayisav Shmuel alechet. So Shmuel turns away to leave. Vayachazek biknaf miilo vayikara. And Shaul grabs Shmuel's cloak and rips it. Again, so picture the scene. Right, again, let's paint the picture. You have everyone... let's contemporize it, okay? You have the President of the United States. Okay? That's a bad example. Well, let's say it here, and then I'll give you an example, okay? The whole people are sitting there waiting to celebrate this massive military victory. Shaul feels he did nothing wrong. He finally realizes that something's wrong. Shmuel says he's going to take it away from him. Shaul, now again, why did Shaul keep Agag? Why did he keep Agag?
Just bring him to celebrate.
Celebrate. That was part of it. So Shaul clearly is in tune to the celebration. That's the yad. If it's a monument, Shaul clearly wants to have a... So the only thing holding up Shaul from this big thing is Shmuel. Shaul realizes that if he comes back without Shmuel, what are the people going to start talking? Right? Maybe they got into a fight, maybe they didn't, whatever. So Shmuel goes away to leave, and Shaul, seeing that his whole party is about to get thrown out the window, reaches for him, and, come on, Shmuel, please, please, please. It's the Havdil. Like, I'm trying to think of the movie, but it's definitely a scene in some, I'm thinking West Wing. But you have the president and the first lady. And let's say the president has to go and give a big speech. And the first lady holds him up in the room, and she has something she wants to talk to him about. And the president says, let's just, you know, Michelle, let's just go out. Everyone's waiting for us. And Michelle says, I'm not leaving you until you and I have this out. Because I'm really upset with you. Okay? And at the last second, the first lady storms out the back door. She says, I'm not making a public appearance with you. So what's going through the president's mind? If he shows up on that stage without the first lady, people are going to know that something happened. They're going to say, where's the first lady? So he kind of reaches, honey, please, just we'll deal with it later. Let's just go out there. She says, I'm not dealing with this later. What are you talking about that? I'm not leaving here until you say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Not good enough. You know that what you did was wrong. I'm out of here. And she storms out the door and he rips for, right? You can imagine this type of thing happening because if he walks out without the first lady, it's incredibly embarrassing. That's what Shaul is going through. At this point, you almost get the sense that he's trying to save face.
He's pacifying Shmuel.
To save face. Okay? Vayomer elav Shmuel. Pasuk Chaf Ches 28, Kara Donayet Mamlachut Yisrael Mealecha Yom Unisana Lareecha Tov Mimecha. Hashem's going to rip apart the kingdom the same way basically you tore my garment. God's going to tear away the kingdom from you, and He's going to give it to a friend who's better than you. Okay.
No, he says in present time that he has Hashem has torn the kingship, and he has given it.
Okay. I got the tense wrong. Kara is present, past.
No,
yeah.
Kara could be.
I'm gonna go with you.
Where is
present? It's past.
Where is
it's
present?
Kara is. He will have. God will have done that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Where is present?
What?
At that point, when Shmuel says to him, Hashem has already made that decree.
Right.
Everything
right.
Has to say.
Right. God has taken it away from you. Okay.
He doesn't accept it anyway.
Right. Okay. Chaf Tes, Chaf Tes, Vigam Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishaker. Where do we know that from? Neely. That's the everyone named Neely. It's an acronym for Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishaker. That Netzach Yisrael is obviously God. Lo Yishaker is it will not lie. So what does that mean? So Rashi says, Vim Tomar Ashuv Me'avoni Lefanav. God says, if you think that I'm going to change my mind, Lo Yoil Od Li Toles Hamlucha Mimi Shenas Nalo. Don't even try to fight it. Because God, who's the Savior of the Jewish people, lo yishaker, He does not lie. Militena tova lazeh she'amar litein. Whatever God said He's going to do, He's going to do. And if He said He's going to take the kingdom away from you, don't try to reach after Me. Don't try to. It's done already, right? Velo yinachem. He will not change His mind. Ki lo adam hu liyinachem. Because God's not like a person who's going to change His mind. Vayomer. Now Shaul realizes that God. This is serious. He's starting to beads of sweat. He's having a Marco Rubio moment, right? Beads of sweat are starting to appear on. He's starting to get thirsty. Vayomer, and he says, "Chatasi ata." Okay, I get it. I've sinned, but kabdenina negetzik neami. But give me, like, let me just the party's going on, right? I get it. You're going to take it away from me. But just, everyone's waiting. Let's go, right? Right? So, is it kabdeni na neged zikne ami v'neged Yisrael? Just give me a little bit of honor. V'shuv ami v'yishtachavesi l'adonai Elohecha. And come with me, shuvi mi, excuse me, come with me v'yishtachavesi l'adonai Elohecha. And let's go through this whole sacrifice process, okay? V'yashav Shmuel acharei Shaul. So, Shmuel has a little bit of mercy on Shaul. Right? It's a little bit embarrassing at this point. So he goes with Shaul, Vayishtachu, Shaul Adonai, and Shmuel makes his appearance, and Shaul bows down to God. Vayomer Shmuel, Higishu Eli Esagag, Melech Amalek. He says, okay, Shmuel says, I'm in charge now. Shaul, this was supposed to be your party, I'm reigning on your parade. Bring me Agag. So he brings him Agag, Vayelech Alav Agav, Ma'adanit, Ma'adanot. They bring him, what's ma'adanot? So Rashi says, it's chains. Okay? And Radak says, what does it mean? I'm just trying to find it inside, I want to read you. Kim mehaleich hamalachim bitanuk. Agag walks in all proud, right? He's happy and proud, right? Kolomar, afa pishu karov lemisa, even though Agag is close to death, Halach elav begaiva, he walks with arrogance. O perusho halach elav betanug besimcha, or he's happy. Why? Ki bachar moto mechayav, because he basically thinks he's about to elude death. He thinks he's going to have escaped it. So Agag walks in, according to some, either like this or according to some like this, right? However, either chained up or he's happy. Vayomer Agag, and Agag says, Achein sar Mar Hamavis. What does this mean? The bitterness of death has gone away. Does that make sense according to the one who says he comes in all happy, right? He says he basically thinks he's gonna escape death. By Yomer Shmuel Kasher Shikla Nashim Charbecha, just as women became childless because of your sword, Kain Tishkal Minashim Imecha, so too your mother will become childless with my sword. Vayishasef Shmuel es Agag lifnei Adonai baGilgal. And Shmuel cut off Agag's head. He decapitated him lifnei Hashem. Notice what it says. Not before the whole nation. Not before Shaul. Not before all of the Ziknei Am. But before Hashem. Vayelech Shmuel haRamasa b'Shaul alal beso givat Shaul. And Shmuel and Shaul part ways. And that's the end of the Haftorah. Yeah.
So he came to the party, so he didn't do it at the same time.
He did it at the same time.
You said he just did it before Hashem.
No, I said the Navi chose to tell us that he just did it before Hashem, which is going to be important. Okay? In other words, the Navi ignores the rest of the nation at this point. When Shmuel does it, it's lifnei Hashem.
Wasn't Shaul was supposed to do that to
Ah, so that's the million-dollar question, right? Shaul, this was supposed to be Shaul's crowning moment. This was supposed to be his military, the climax of his military career. And Shmuel says, I'll give you the honor, I'll show up at the party, I'll let you bow down, but I'm going to steal the thunder. Now we have to know why Shmuel decides to steal the thunder. Okay? Yeah.
You almost know that because it says negative.
Right.
Negative.
In front of.
Again, though he's going with them.
It means opposite, really, in this sense, in front of. Okay, so that's the Haftorah. Now let's do a little bit of analysis, okay? Because the real million dollar question is, why is Shaul treated so harshly, whereas David, Aaron, all these other people who sinned through Reuven, all these other people who sinned throughout Tanakh, are given a tremendous pass, and Shaul seems to get the raw end of the repentance deal. God doesn't seem to want to hear anything. So you have three basic suggestions. Yeah.
According to this, Amalek truly is destroyed.
No,
he's not. He's
not. Well, no. He had a king, right? It's a good question, because we know that his wife may still have been alive, that they had a child. That child produces Haman, right? Haman is born out of Agag. Okay. So the Navi doesn't tell us that, though. Chazal tells. Okay, fine. So there are three basic approaches classically to what Shaul's sin was. Number one is that he gave in to the nation's suggestion. He decided to bring korbanos instead of killing them. That's number one. Number two, is that he chose to kill Agag publicly. In other words, instead of killing Agag in the battle, he chooses to kill Agag publicly. And number three is that when Shmuel comes to him, instead of just saying, "I sinned," he kind of negotiates the sin down. Right? Those are the three classical explanations. According to any of them, that he makes excuses. He doesn't simply come out with a sin. According to any of them, it's extremely problematic. It doesn't seem fair that Shaul gets punished. None of those would warrant such a harsh punishment. There must be something else that's taking place here that makes this sin so egregious. So I want to share with you a suggestion from Rabbi Menachem Liebtag in a really brilliant article that appears online. Okay? Rabbi Liebtag says the following. Okay? He says, in general, when we talk about a king, did God want a king or not want a king? He didn't want a king. Why does he have a king? Because the people wanted a king for, again, political economy. Now, why didn't God want a king? What was his fear? What's the fear of a king? They would become godlike, right? The fear is that a king who is all powerful, the people would start thinking the king had all the power and not God. Right? The fear is that instead of a king representing God, he would replace God. Okay? Well, that happened with a number of the bad kings. Exactly.
Think of, he became a king.
Right, exactly. Paro thought of himself as a god. So, right, that is a which is the brilliance of the American system. Right? Think about the system of checks and balances that we have in America is to make up for the mistakes of world history, which is basically that whenever there was a king, he became too powerful. Power leads to
corruption,
and corruption never ends up good for the people. So America was founded on that notion, right? The power of the presidency, at least in the way it was constructed, was somewhat neutered, so that no one person would have too much power. That was God's fear as well, that the king would replace him, not represent him. Okay, if that's the fear, then you have to read the entire Haftorah through that lens. Okay, because what happens by taking the booty, by killing Agag publicly? What does essentially it do? It makes it Shaul's victory and not Hashem's. It all becomes about the man as opposed to about God. Okay? Again, what's the problem with Amalek, we said? What's the challenge of Amalek? Is to kill Amalek with no ulterior motives. So when Shaul comes back and he has economic bounty, and he has military victories, and he's making a whole public display about this, with fanfare and sacrifices and monuments, what does that lead Hashem to believe? That Shaul is no longer interested in representing God, but in replacing him. That it all becomes about Shaul. And so therefore, by countering this, what does Shmuel do at the end of our story? This comes back to you. Why does Shmuel steal Shaul's thunder? Exactly. That's the ultimate cutting the legs underneath Shaul, is by saying, I, the prophet of God, not the military wing of power, but the religious wing of power, I'm going to be the one to kill Shmuel, I'm going to kill Agag. And how am I going to do it? Lifnei Hashem. Because don't forget, all of this only makes sense. We don't just kill for the sake of killing, Shmuel teaches Shaul. If you kill for economic bounty, if you kill to make public displays, then the Jewish people just become an aggressive, overly zealous people. Right? That can't be what Mechias Amalek is. Mechias Amalek is Lifnei Hashem. It means it makes no sense to us. Our moral compass should be running around in circles because we're so upset about having to do Mechias Amalek. The only way it makes sense is if it's Lifnei Hashem. And that's what Shmuel does. He steals Shaul's thunder. He says, I'm going to kill him. You're darn right I'm going to. But it's going to be Lifnei Hashem. It's going to be only because Hashem wanted it and not because you, Shaul, had any ulterior motives. And that's why Shaul must go. The very next pasuk, story ends somewhat abruptly. Shmuel goes this way, Shaul goes the other way. Why does Shaul have to leave immediately? And why does the kingdom get taken away from Shaul? Why is that the punishment? Because the only punishment for an overly zealous king in terms of seeking power is to strip the power away from him. Right?
You see, he doesn't listen then either. He knows he lost it, and he still fights stubborn.
Well, that's the exact...
That's it?
Well, it takes a while to unfold.
14 years.
But that's why the punishment fits the crime. Right? That's why the punishment fits the crime. Okay? And that's also, it also explains why Shaul was so honor craved. Right? Think about it. Every time Shmuel comes and says, "You're not going to be king anymore," what is Shaul's reaction each time? He doesn't even really care about the king. He cares about his own personal honor. Right? Kabdeini Nai says, "At least come with me. Show me honor." Why does Shaul care about his honor so much? Because that's what it was all about for Shaul. The whole military victory was his crowning moment. And even when God says, "I'm going to tear the kingdom away from you," Shaul says, "That's fine, but just for the time being, give me the honor, because this is my crowning moment." Yeah.
But David, on the other hand, we're talking about, he really loved Hashem, and he did a lot in his honor of Hashem.
Well,
so maybe that's...
Well, I'll take it a step further. I'll slightly modify it, okay? The Malbim points out that Shaul's sin was directly correlated to the nature of being a king. In other words, his sin was a problem in, it would say, like the essence of his king, of his being a king was a problem. The whole way he was a king was a problem. So it had to be torn away from him. David's problem was not in the way he was a king. It was simply he was overcome by desire. So that he could do tshuva for that, but still be an effective king. Lahavdil. I'm even nervous to say this. Okay? But think about former President Bill Clinton. It boggles my mind. I can go on reference. This is not a political statement. This is an ethical statement. It boggled my mind that someone who did what he did and lied under oath, right? Or didn't lie, lied, whatever, is now the most popular politician. If he were to run for a re-election, he would be... People love him. It's a love fest. How could a guy who did all those things be loved? So I think this is exactly the vort. This is exactly the idea. Because people differentiate between Bill Clinton as president and Bill Clinton as a person. And they'll say to themselves, as a person, he could be a disgusting person, but he was the president over great economic times, so I'll forgive him. Right? So lahavdil. That's essentially by David. David made a mistake in his... it's such a bad example. Everyone should forgive me for that example. But it kind of draws out the point. Everyone can forgive David because he made a personal mistake. But the personal mistake is not in relationship to him as a king. Whereas Shaul, the very nature of his being a king is called into question now because he is falling prey to exactly what God is nervous about, which is that a king replacing God, not simply representing God. Okay? And that's again why Shaul is so interested in the show going on, and that's why the punishment fits the crime. Again, it wasn't just because he didn't apologize immediately. It wasn't that he killed Agav publicly. It wasn't about the sheep. It was about what all that represented. And that's why the only reaction God can have is to tear the kingdom away from Shaul and say, "I'm going to put someone in who's going to get it." Yeah.
How was Shaul chosen as a king?
I don't remember
Shmuel and Nun.
Yeah,
what
he
was
anointed.
Shmuel was sent from God. Than everyone else.
Yeah.
So Hashem knew it. Why would Hashem be upset when Hashem was the one to choose him?
No. First of all, we believe in free choice, right? In other words, Hashem knew who Paro was, but he still punished Paro. Say, Hashem knew who Cain was, he still punished Paro. We don't, just because a person might have made a mistake later on doesn't mean that they were always inclined to do so or that it was a fait accompli that they would do that. Right? So you're saying it's Hashem's fault, he put him in there. No, it's not Hashem's fault.
Cannot be upset at him because Hashem was the one that chose him.
Let me ask you a question. Let's say tomorrow I were to do something egregious and the shul had to fire me. And I came to the shul board and said, "But you hired me. It's your fault. You knew what you were getting yourself into." It's an absurd thing. They would say, "Yeah, but you make the bed that you sleep in." Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Just you never explained why the first pasuk is omitted by
Okay. I honestly don't know why. So Ashkenazim would omit it, if they want the whole Haftorah to just be about Amalek. Okay? Svardim will, I don't know if this is why, but with the Pasuk missing, it's just about Amalek. With the Pasuk in, it's more than that. Because what does the first Pasuk do? Thank you for reminding me. What's the first Pasuk about? Remember we said it's a bizarre Pasuk. It's Shmuel coming to Shaul and say, "Osi shalach Hashem limshachecha." The same God who sent me to coronate you is the God who's sending me back to you now. That fits perfectly with what we're saying. Because it's not just about Amalek. but it's about Shaul's mistake with Amalek. What's Shaul's mistake? Shmuel comes to him and says, I was the one who coronated. In other words, it's linking his being coronated as king with his sin to show that they're not two different things, but that they're one. You, the king, made this mistake. And because of that, you're going to have the kingdom taken away from you. So, again, I don't know if that was the deep... But that's how you would read the Haftorah in two different ways. If you take out that pasuk, it's strictly about Amalek. If you put the pasuk back in, it's about Shaul's mistake with regard to being a king in terms of Amalek. That's the difference. Okay, and obviously now, with we come to Purim, there are a lot of practical applications in terms of Amalek, in terms of submitting our own sense of moral compass to God, in terms of the way we relate to God, in terms of what Amalek did and what they make so bad. That's the whole essence of this Haftorah. So, everyone have a great week.